Welcome to Spruce Grove Alliance Church, your home.
Well, here we sit just 5 days into this thing called 2025. And if you're like me, it's hard to write 2025 on the forms. Anyone like that? Like you're still writing 2024 when you fill out forms and things like that. And it takes about a month to get to in your brain that it's actually 2025. And so this is a good time for us to talk about this thing called Vision Verse. And Vision Verse, for those of you who are new, if you've just been with us for maybe a few days, maybe this is your very first day, maybe just a few months, Vision Verse is something that we've done over the past few years where I ask you to consider choosing a verse or a chunk of verses, a passage of scripture that will be your focus for the year. And you're asking God to do something in your life with that verse as you kind of marinate and percolate on that. Oh, yeah, you're going to read other parts of the scripture, but you're going to just marinate on that part of the scripture. And so today I'm going to ask you to consider in a moment to choose one of those verses. You might remember that our values we studied this fall. Back in the spring of 2024, our elders gathered together and they took our mission statement, know Jesus, know one another, make Jesus known, and we wanted to flesh out some values of what it meant, what those meant. And so we came up with two values with each one of those. Under knowing Jesus is intentional proximity and transformational discipleship. Under knowing one another, it's sacrificial service and collaborative community. Under making Jesus known, it's missional imagination and radical generosity. And we spent 6 weeks in the fall in a series called This Is Us, talking about each one of those values. Vision Verse is an opportunity for us to exemplify those two values underneath knowing Jesus, intentional proximity and transformational discipleship. It's an opportunity to draw close to Jesus and be changed by him. And you might remember that I told this story of a friend of mine who was kind of a boss of an organization, kind of an organization that did landscaping and maintenance on this plant in Fort Saskatchewan. And he was the boss, and he had kind of guys working under him and guys, teams under him. And his son, his 18-year-old son, got a job, and he was kind of working down here, and he was the boss up here. You might remember the story. His son did something that just warmed his heart, that showed him that he was listening to his father's voice. It was shaping his identity. And one of his bosses told him this story, that his son, who usually wasn't outspoken, was down here, and he was working with a team of guys, and you know how it works. When you're trying to solve a problem, you have about five guys and about 10 different opinions on how to solve that problem, and everyone's kind of sharing their opinion on how to solve this problem. And they had this hole dug, and they were trying to figure out how to get this thing through there, and everyone was trying to figure out how to solve this problem. And this boss's son down here, he's usually pretty soft-spoken. He got pretty adamant, and he was like, no, we need to do it this way. If you do it that way, that you're going to run into problems. You do it that way, you're going to run into problems. We need to do it this way first, and then that, and that, and that. And he got pretty adamant, and he's usually a pretty quiet guy. And the rest of his team was like, why are you so adamant? Why are you so adamant that we need to do it that way? And this is when kind of that thing that my friend said that kind of warmed his heart. He said this, because my dad is the boss, and I can hear his voice in my head. It warms every parent's heart to hear that somehow your voice is shaping their identity in some way. And Vision Verse is an opportunity for us to be shaped by Jesus, to draw close to Jesus and be changed by him, to hear his scripture-saturated Holy Spirit voice in our head, in our soul, and be changed by it, to let it shape our identity. And so our elders and our staff, our pastors, they believe in this. They've already selected, back in December, they've already selected their vision verses, and there's a list of all of our pastors and our elders, because they believe that it's a great way for us to exemplify these values of intentional proximity and transformational discipleship, to just to know Jesus and draw close to him and just be changed by him. And so they've all selected a chunk of verses or a verse itself that they want to say, okay, God, what I want to draw close to you through this. I want to hear your voice through this. This year, I don't know what's going to happen in 2025, but I want this verse to come alive in my life and you to speak to me through this verse. This is a time of year where we do these things called New Year's resolutions. You can just kind of feel the fresh start vibe in the air as people think about change and possibilities of things that might happen. I found some pretty crazy New Year's resolutions online. Maybe you want to try this one. Reply to every spam email for a month just to make the scammers work a little harder. Don't you just ever want to do that one? Another crazy one was develop an exercise routine based entirely on dance moves from the 80s, music videos. Maybe you want to do this. Flip a coin to make all your decisions for a day. Another one was learn to juggle flaming torches. I'm going to do that before next Christmas Eve, I promise. That'll be my next object lesson. Maybe chainsaws on fire, too. Or this one, learn a completely useless skill every month, like whistling in an acorn cap or balancing a spoon on your nose. But most New Year's resolutions, as you can imagine, fall under these three categories. 95% of New Year's resolutions fall under physical health, financial health, or relational health. You want to eat better or exercise more. You want to get out of debt or save more. Maybe you want to be more generous. Or relational health, you want to spend more time with your loved ones, or you want to meet more people, or you want to get rid of toxic relationships. Almost 95% of all serious New Year's resolutions focus on those three, because we all know this truth, that if you keep doing what you've always done, you keep getting what you've always gotten. I think it was Mark Twain who said, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. If you keep doing what you've always done, you're going to keep getting what you've always gotten. If you keep eating the same way and having the same exercise or not exercise routine, come December 31st, you're going to get the exact same results. If you want to fix your finances, but you don't change anything about your finances, you just keep your same spending habits, you don't save, you don't invest, you come to December 31st, you're going to get the exact same results as you did in 2024. Same with relationships. If you don't prioritize family and friends and loved ones, right? You come to December 31st at 2025, you're going to get the exact same results. If you keep doing what you've always done, you'll keep getting what you've always gotten. And this is why, as your pastor, I would like you to consider your soul health in 2025. Your soul health. Your soul. Our soul is the one thing that distinguishes the human race from every other thing in creation. It's our ability to connect with God. It's our ability to have a relationship with God. When God made us in his image, it means that he gave us a soul. He didn't give anything else in creation a soul. He didn't give the planets, didn't give the ocean, didn't give the birds, the animals, a soul where they have this. Jesus didn't come to the earth to die on the cross for any other sin. It was our sin. So he gave us his ability to have a relationship with God, a soul. Soul health. What is your soul health in 2025? Well, I'm sure that some of you probably feel stuck in your spiritual life, in your soul. You had a relationship with God, or you remember a time where it was had this close communion and there was intimate intentional proximity and you were being changed by him, but you just feel stuck. 2024 was a year for me of car problems. Anyone can identify with that? I did the whole Dave Ramsey thing and just drive them suckers right into the ground. But then again, it gets to a point where it's like, you know, they're always in the shop. And so I had this vehicle that was having transmission problems. It was a Jetta. And in between 3 and 4 in the gear, it would sometimes slip. And it would just hiccup once in a while. I'd be like, what was that? But then progressively throughout the year got worse, where between 3rd and 4th gear, sometimes it would be like a couple seconds. So you'd be driving along, and then all of a sudden the engine would rev. And then it would be like you were learning to drive standard. Boom, and it would catch right in, right? And then it would get into 4th gear. And then that 1 second turned into 2 seconds. Then it turns into 5 seconds. Then it was sometimes 10 seconds as you were kind of like stopped in traffic. As you're like, come on, hit gear. Vroom, 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 boom, and then catch on. And so I remember my son calling me one time, because that was typically his car, and he said, I'm side of the road, Dad, and it's stuck. It's not moving. It's in neutral. It's not moving. It's in between 3 and 4, and it's not moving. And anyway, we ended up turning it off and then resetting it, and we got the vehicle home. Then I ended up selling it, and I was upfront about it, and I told the guy, and I said, a mechanic needs to buy this. It's like, I guess, sold it for like $1,000. But anyway, some of you here, at this point in your journey on January 5th, you feel stuck in your relationship with God. You were going at one, you were going fast at one point. You had this deep intimacy with God, but you feel like you're stuck in your relationship with God. That intimacy that you had once is just not there, and you just can't get any traction in your spiritual life. And some of you, that's you here this morning. Well, that's where Vision Verse comes in. Vision Verse is an opportunity for you to get unstuck, to draw close to Jesus and be changed by him, to hear his scripture-saturated Holy Spirit voice in your soul. And some of you came here this morning and say, well, that's not for me. All I want to say is if you keep doing what you've always done, you're going to keep getting what you've always gotten. And you might come to the end of December 31st, 2025, and your engine is revving, vroom, vroom, and you just can't get this thing going. So I'd ask you maybe even consider this, because maybe this is an opportunity that God is placing before you here this morning. Vision Verse 2025. And the biblical metaphor that we have chosen this year is the potter and the clay. And in 2023, you might remember that the metaphor that we chose was actually from the Sermon on the Mount, which we're going to get there next week. At the very last illustration that Jesus used in the Sermon on the Mount was he who builds his life upon the rock. And that year, we wanted to build our life upon the rock, solid word of God, no matter what storms may come. Last year, we chose the biblical metaphor of the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And we said, Satan has a plan to destroy our life. How are we going to fight our battles in 2024? Many of you, 400 of you, chose a vision verse last year to fight your battles. And we heard lots of stories about that throughout the year. But this year, the metaphor, the biblical metaphor that we've chosen is the potter and the clay from Jeremiah chapter 18. Now, Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet. He also wrote a book aptly named, right after Jeremiah, Lamentations. And he's crying. He's the weeping prophet because God told him in his call that he was going to be God's messenger to the people, and that people are not going to respond to him. He had very little response to his message. Unlike a guy like Jonah in the Bible, who was a messenger of God, who spoke to Nineveh and the whole city repented, he only had like 3 people in his life actually respond. So he's called the weeping prophet because the people of God are in difficulty and hardship in their life because they're not prioritizing God with their life, and they're experiencing all this hardship in their life because of their sin. We all know people like that, and sometimes that's us. And so Jeremiah is weeping because he's like, please make God a priority. Please make God a priority. If you just make God a priority, this would change. This would change in your life. And so he says, this weeping prophet. And so the prophet represented God to the people. The priest represented the people to God, but the prophet represented God to the people. Anytime God wanted to send a message to the people, he would tell a prophet, and the prophet would then tell the people. And God would often get these prophets to do some rather eccentric object lessons to get the people's attention. You remember on Christmas Eve, I had the boxes here. It was kind of an object lesson. Well, there was even more eccentric ones that God would get the prophets to do. Probably the 2 most famous ones, other than this one we're going to look at today, was a guy named Hosea. And God asked him to go marry a prostitute. And this prostitute was going to be unfaithful to him in his marriage and going to come back and ask for forgiveness. And and it was to illustrate to the people that no matter how much you people keep prostituting yourselves with false gods and running away from me, I will always accept you back and love you. It's just a beautiful picture of God's love for his people. Ezekiel was another one that God got him to do some rather eccentric, crazy object lesson to teach the people a message. He got him to lay on his side for 390 days for Israel on his left side, and then on his right side for 40 days for Judah. And he told Ezekiel during that time, 390 days on your side for Israel and 40 days for Judah, to cook his food over human excrement. Yeah. And Ezekiel, you read the story, it's in the Bible. He says, that's gross, God. I don't want to do that. And God says, okay, well, you can cook it over animal excrement. And Ezekiel's like, oh, okay, that's so much better. But it was to show the people that God was grossed out over their sin. And that there's going to be some difficulty coming in their life because of their sin. And so he would get these prophets to do these rather eccentric object lessons to teach the people something, to get some attention. And so for Jeremiah, he gets them to go to the potter's house. And he teaches them, the people, a lesson through this object lesson of pottery. In Jeremiah 18, he says, he sends a message to the people, here's who I want you to be. And then in Jeremiah chapter 19, which we'll see, here's the negative example with pottery. Here's what I don't want you to be. So let's read the positive one in Jeremiah 18. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot that he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as it seemed best to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me. He said, can I not do with you, Israel, as this potter does, declares the Lord? Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, Israel. And so it's this message to the people of God that I want you to be this moldable, soft clay submitted to my sovereign hands. That if I see something that's off or it's marred or it's not the way it should be, that you're going to let me take it and shape it and form it the way that I see best for me and for my glory. So be that soft, that moldable clay in the master's hands. What a beautiful picture. What a beautiful picture of our soul. What a beautiful picture for us in 2025 if we would just all kind of submit ourselves to this, to be formed by God, saying, God, what do you want to form in my life? If you see something that's off, you can just take it and shape it and move it to where you do it best you see fit. You know, when I think of this being a soft, moldable clay in the master's hands, it reminds me of the first formal prophet of Israel, Samuel. You know, actually, they talked about Samuel here in the baby dedication. They talked about Samuel being dedicated. And it was a miraculous story of Hannah, Samuel's mother, couldn't get pregnant, and she just begged God, God, if you just let me be pregnant, if you just give me a child, I promise I will give him back to service for you in the temple. And God grants her request, if you know the story from Samuel. And she becomes pregnant, and she has a baby, and she just raises it until it's weaned. And then she dedicates it, this boy Samuel, to serve in the temple under this guy named Eli. And then there's this beautiful story when little boy Samuel is serving in the temple. One night, he hears someone call his name, Samuel, Samuel, Samuel. And he thinks it's Eli, his boss. So he comes running to Eli. And there's this beautiful, beautiful picture of this soft heart where it's in Hebrew, it's hineni. Here I am. Here I am. And Eli's like, well, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. And it happens two more times. And Samuel comes running into Eli and goes, here I am. Here I am. You called my name. And then Eli's putting it together. That this is God actually calling this boy and wants to talk to this boy, this prophet. And so he tells Samuel, he says, the next time you hear that voice, he says, I want you to say, here I am, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And so sure enough, Samuel goes back to bed and he curls up and he hears the voice, Samuel, Samuel. And he says, here I am, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. What a beautiful picture of a soft, moldable heart. Here I am. Whatever you have for me, Lord, bring it. I'm listening. I'm available. I want to hear from you. You're the most important thing. Whatever you have for me, Lord, bring it. Here I am. Wouldn't it be amazing? Maybe that you want that to be your vision verse this year. Wouldn't it be amazing if you woke up every single day in 2025 and the first thing out of your lips or maybe on your mind was, Hinene, here I am, Lord. Whatever you have for me, Lord, you bring it. I'm your servant. I'm gonna walk in step with you today. I want you to bring things my way, and I want to be in tune with you. Whatever you have for me, Lord, bring it. What could God do in our life, in our church, in our community, if we just woke up every single day and said, here I am, Lord. Here I am. I had this middle school girl. I've done Vision Verse a couple of years, and middle school girl a couple of years ago, she met me at the door of our church, and I talked about Vision Verse and tried to inspire people to choose a Vision Verse. And she goes, Pastor Brent, I got a really good Vision Verse. I think, I want you to tell me if it's a good Vision Verse. And I'm like, of course I'm going to say it's a good Vision Verse. It's from the Bible. If it's from the Bible, if you're going to say it's good, don't overthink it. And so she goes, okay, I found this part in Ephesians, and here it is. It's six words long. It says, find out what pleases the Lord. Is that a good one? Yeah. Touchdown. That's an amazing one. And she went on to say, she just wants to find out what pleases the Lord, that brings joy to his heart, that brings a smile to his face. She wants to spend every day that year just finding out what pleases the Lord. I mean, we're going to get into this next week where it says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. I mean, that exemplifies it right there. To have this soft, this moldable, shapeable heart that's just submitted to the master's hands. But then, God tells Jeremiah in the next chapter, chapter 19, to do another eccentric object lesson to illustrate the opposite of a soft heart, and he gets him to use some pottery again. I condensed 15 words into a few sentences here for the sake of time, and this is what he did. He says, this is what the Lord says, go and buy a clay jar from a potter, and then go outside of Jerusalem and take along some of the elders of the people of the and the priests, and break the jar while those who go with you are watching, and say to them, this is what the Lord Almighty says, I will smash this nation and this city just as this potter's jar is smashed and cannot be repaired, because they are stiff-necked and would not listen to my words. It's not a warm, fuzzy image there. Because you're stiff-necked, you don't have a soft heart, you don't have that soft clay moldable heart where you're letting me kind of shape and mold you, because you're a stiff neck, I want to destroy you, I want to smash you. This whole image of stiff-necked is not one that you would have to describe to someone in the Bible. We would have to explain it because we can't quite understand what does it mean to be stiff-necked. But back in the day, when horsepower actually meant horses, when animals were the tractors and the trucks of the day, they plowed the fields, they pulled the heavy loads, they transported people, they would put these yokes on these animals, or they put a bit in their mouths and to control the animal. And so this was just like driving vehicles for you and I. And so they would have an animal, an oxen or a horse or a donkey or a mule that would plow the fields, that would pull the heavy loads, and that would transport the people. And if an animal had a mind of its own, so the owner or the farmer would pull on that, whether pull on the reins to say, we're going to steer this way, we're going to go that way. And if the animal had a mind of its own, which was a common thing in those days, it would stiffen its neck and say, I'm not going to go that way. I'm not going to go that way. And the farmer's like, no, we need to turn right. We need to turn left. And if the animal had a mind of its own, say, you're not going to tell me what to do, it would stiffen its neck and it wouldn't move. And some of you who deal with animals will know this. And that's why we invented these things called cattle prods later on. Remember when I was young, friends of ours, neighbors of ours, they were boarding these horses for a Bible camp for 10 months of the year. And my friend called me up, and I had no experience with horses, and he had next to no experience with horses. We figured out how to put saddles on these things. He said, let's take them for a ride. And we took them down, we lived on a dirt road, we took them down the dirt road, and all of a sudden these horses just kind of veered to the right, and they went into this big green pasture. And they started eating. We're thinking, okay, that's okay, but time for us to kind of leave about 5 minutes later, and we could not get these silly horses out of this green pasture. And we were there for an hour, and we couldn't figure out how to get these horses out. And then luckily, this guy driving by in a truck had mercy on us, and he had some experience with animals. He just goes, okay, sit on the horse. I'm like, okay, and watch this. And he smacked the rear end of this thing, and it just shot out of there. It's like, okay, it means stiff neck, right? It has a mind of his own. It wasn't listening to what I wanted it to do. What a terrible picture. What an unfortunate picture of our relationship with God. You're not going to tell me what to do, Mr. Farmer. You're not going to tell me what to do, Mr. God. I'm going to do my own thing. In fact, you get in line with what I want to do. And it's this terrible picture of what God was so frustrated with the people of God. He says, I just want to smash them. No wonder Jeremiah was called the weeping prophet. And to see, this goes in line with a theme that we've discussed previously that is found all throughout the scripture, that God opposes the proud and he gives grace to the humble. That anyone with this attitude of me, 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 God's like, no, 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 no. No, 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 no. But anyone with a posture, an attitude of you, God. You. It's like God hears from heaven and he's like, yes. Yes. God opposes the proud and he gives grace to the humble. Vision verse is about having a soft and a humble heart, not a stiff neck heart. And our pastors and our elders believe in this, and they want to lead the way in this. And they've all chosen a vision verse to say, okay, God, I want you to shape and mold this in my life this year. I don't want to be that stiff-necked where I'm not going to let you tell me what to do. I'm going to go in my own way. I want to kind of submit to you. And so I want you to take this verse, this chunk of verses, and I want it to come alive in my life. I want you to guide me and shape me and control me and take me to places that I've never gone before. And so here is how this is going to work. This morning, I want to give you a little bit of space, perhaps to choose a vision verse. I've been telling you that it's coming, but maybe you need a little bit of space, and maybe you aren't ready to choose one today. That's okay. Maybe this week you'll choose one. I'd love for you to submit your vision verse. You were given a business card that with the potter and the clay when you came in. There's a table in the foyer with a little basket. You can put that in. You can fill that out, or you can do it online. You can scan that QR code and you can fill it out, because we'd love to see everyone's vision verse. I had a lady last year that just prayed through. There was 400 of you. Prayed through one every single day, and let that be her devotions for the day. It's a great opportunity for us to grow together. So if you'd like to submit your vision verse today, I think that'd be a great idea.
Thanks for listening to this week's message from Spruce Grove Alliance Church. For more information or to hear past messages, please visit sgac.net.